As I mentioned a moment ago, in chapter 12 of the book of Nehemiah, once again, we have lists of names. Particularly in chapter 12, we have the priests and the Levites, because Nehemiah is organizing the people for worship. As he has already organized them to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, now we have seen him in the last couple of chapters, and we see him now in chapter 12 organizing the people for worship. So we have lists here that actually go all the way back 100 years to the time of Zerubbabel, and we'll talk about that in just a moment, lists of names of priests and Levites, because Nehemiah is organizing the people for worship. But before we get into the specifics, before we get into these lists, something occurred to me this week, and I wanted to share this with you. You know, you and I are always connected to the past. You and I are always connected to the people of God who went before us. That's part of what these genealogies show us. We come to them in our Bible reading and we want to skip them. And we don't want to put any work into them. But the point is, we are connected. We are connected with the people of faith who have gone before us. They are connected with us. We're a chain. I mean, we're a link in a very long chain that stretches back behind us and stretches forward to us. We are connected. We are connected generally to the people of God. We are connected to the saints of the Scripture who have gone before. That's the whole point of Hebrews chapter 12. Would you turn with me into your New Testament to the book of Hebrews? The book of Hebrews chapter 12. Now, Hebrews chapter 12 follows what famous chapter in the book of Hebrews? 11. Very good. You guys are great at math. That's right. It follows chapter 11. What happens in chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews? What is it a list of? The hall of faith. The heroes of faith. That's what chapter 11 is all about. And then chapter 12 and verse 1, and as you know, the writer of the book of Hebrews, whom we don't know, goes through and expresses all of these people who live by faith, and they lived victoriously by faith. Even though things didn't always go their way, they were victorious by faith. And then he gets to chapter 12 and verse 1, or she, it may have been, gets to chapter 12 and verse 1 and says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked before us." Now, as I've studied in the book of Hebrews, there's all kinds of ideas about what does chapter 12, verse 1 mean? Who is this cloud of witnesses? Is it the people who have just died before us, and they're kind of watching our race? They've run their race and they're watching our race. Well, I think it's obvious. He has just finished naming all these heroes of the faith. He has just finished naming all these people who lived by faith, who lived victoriously, who lived in such a way that they didn't always get what God promised, but they knew that they would eventually, that God would take care of them. And so it only makes sense that when he gets to chapter 12 and he talks about this great cloud of witnesses, he's talking about the people of chapter 11. You see, we are always part of a long chain, the people who came before us, people who are after us. We are linked, we are connected to the past and to the faithful people who've gone before us. We can learn so much about them, so much about the people of the Bible, so much about the people who lived before us, so much about the people throughout church history, missionaries. We've had the privilege of having several missionaries over the last month and a half, and we're going to have another one next week. How exciting is that? It is so great that we can partake of what God has shown them, partake of the faithful way that they have lived. We are part connected to the past. We are linked to the saints of the past. But there's another thing that I want you to think about this morning. You and I are linked, connected to our personal past. Our personal past. Who is it in your life that's made a difference in your spiritual life? I want you to think about that for a moment. Who in your past has contributed to what and who you are today? We have great links, great faithful people in our past. As I think about that, I think about parents, I think about friends who have impacted us and made us what we are spiritually today. Who are those people in your life? Who are those people in your life? Make a list. You have a sermon outline in front of you. Make a list. Who are those people in your life who have impacted your life? Now, you may not even know all the people who have impacted your life, but you know some of them. When I think about that, I go back to a time in my own life. I had become a Christian. I was an adult when I became a Christian, 25 years old. I felt called to the ministry shortly after that. I hadn't yet been to college, so I went to a Bible college with the intention of going into the ministry after that. Instead, God redirected me to seminary, so 4 more years of schooling. But at the 4th year of Bible college, all of the preacher boys had to do a senior sermon. Well, the cream of the crop got to do their senior sermon at the college. The rest of us were able to do our senior sermon in our local church. And I had a pastor who willingly let me have a Sunday evening service, and I did my senior sermon. I still get nervous today a little bit. But, I mean, that was my first time in front of a crowd of people doing a sermon. And I was really nervous. But you see, there had been people in my life who had built into my life. The people I worked for, who I lovingly say argued me into the kingdom of God, because we argued every day about the gospel until I realized they were right and put my faith in Jesus Christ. But they continued to pour into my life and continued to pour into my life, and they introduced me to wonderful Christian people that they knew. They introduced me to several missionary couples. It's where I gained my love of missionaries and love of missions. They introduced me to a couple who was head of a mission in that day that called the Bible Christian Union, and friends of theirs, and they introduced me to others, and all of these people that had a little part of my life, if nothing more than praying for me. And anyhow, I'm at this senior sermon. It's in my home church, and I'm just all kinds of nerves, and I'm sitting up front waiting for them to turn me loose, you know, to introduce me. And I began to look, because Cliff and Helen had invited all these people who had poured into my life, and my early Christian days were difficult days. And they invited all these people. Who had poured into my life. In some ways, maybe just prayer. But they had poured into my life. And I sat there and I looked out. And while the rest of the service was going on, I looked out and I started to go down that row. My mother and dad were there. I was the first in our family to become a believer. And this couple, Cliff and Helen, were there, and I just started to go down the row and thank God. Thank you for Cliff. Thank you for Helen. Thank you for the Salters. And on down the row. And you know, an amazing thing happened. As I was going down the row and thanking God for all of these people who had poured into my life, great calmness came over me. A great peace came over me. Helen wrote me a note 41 years ago. I still carry it. I still look at it occasionally. Cliff went to heaven quite a few years ago. Helen went to heaven about a year and a half ago. And she prayed for me every day. And what I'm doing here right now, she prayed. Who are the people in your life? Who are the people that poured themselves into your life? They may be people today at Del Rio Bible Church. But who are the people who have poured into your life? If they're still with us and not in heaven, it would be great to let them know. But none of us lives by himself or herself. We are part of a great group of witnesses. And we're one link in a chain that started before us and will go on after we're gone. And so I look at, sorry, this is emotional for me. I look at chapter 12, and it's not just lists of names and somebody begat somebody who begat somebody who begat somebody else. But they are faithful people. They are faithful people who went before. And may you and I be faithful people who others will say in the future impacted my life, even if all they did was pray for me. You know, and I hate even saying it that way. Like, prayer is kind of, well, if you can't do anything, the most anemic thing possible is prayer. That's just stupid, excuse me. I mean, I'm talking about myself for saying that. Prayer is the most powerful thing you can do for somebody. Prayer is the most powerful thing. Rob's our prayer chain leader. Rob, thank you. Prayer is the most powerful thing you can do for anybody. Anyhow, when I looked at that list, I thought, wow, that's a record of faithfulness. It's a record of faithfulness. We're always connected. Well, in Nehemiah chapter 12, remember, genealogies were important to the Hebrews for several reasons. They were important because your inheritance as an Israelite was based on genealogy and based on your family tie and family connection. Your job was based on it. That's part of the reason Nehemiah is qualifying these people. Pretty much what he's doing here in chapter 12 and has done previously in the book is to organize, register, and qualify these people. Qualify for them for their jobs. Qualify that they have a right to serve as a Levite, that they have a right to serve as a priest. These were important areas, but also other jobs, gatekeepers, song leaders, choirs, all of them were based on their family ties. So genealogies were important for inheritance, important even for the thing that you would do, the job that you would do. They were important as